T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What a day. What a day, Bay Area. You wake up this morning, the Sharks won in overtime. Oh, did they win in overtime? Matt Cain looked like the Matt Cain of old when he mowed down the Diamondbacks. The A's advanced to over 500 with a knockout punch of a win over the Kansas City Royals. And the Warriors hit 67 wins. The over on the season win total cashes, and they become the first team in NBA history to win 67 or more games in 3 consecutive seasons. Good morning. It is outstanding to have you in. Joe Fortenbaugh, Lorenzo Neal, Dan Dibley, Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. We had a plan to get into some hoops, but some big-time news is surfacing out of the NFL, and it pertains to the Oakland Raiders. So, before we jump into that and your calls, here's Dibs with your update.
Well, the NBA regular season is in the books. The Warriors handled the business and ended it with a 109-94 win over the Lakers. 67 wins, 15 defeats, first team ever to win 67 or more games in 3 consecutive seasons. Steve Kerr likes where the Warriors sit with Portland coming to town on Sunday.
Oh, I think we're in great shape. Other than Matt Barnes' injury, I think getting KD back, I think Steph and Clay have been in a good groove, you know, the last month, 6 weeks, whatever it is. I think we're healthy. We've had great contributions off the bench, and so I really like the position we're in going into the playoffs.
Great position, especially if you're Steph Curry or Andre Iguodala and you got your golf clubs in the garage, Joe. You've got no game today, no practice today, no game till Sunday. Chance to hit the links for the lads.
You earned it. You earned it. 67 wins for the 3rd consecutive season. You're healthy. You're looking good. You're feeling good. You're peaking at the right time. And you've been mentally preparing for this moment for the last 3 weeks. This team is ready to rock and roll. Enjoy the next few days. I cannot wait to turn them on 12:30 come Sunday afternoon.
All the action heard here on 95.7 The Game. Story number 2. For that, we go straight to Dan Rusinowski.
Vlasic rims it around. Pavelski headmans. Here's a chance. Carlson moving and shoots. He scores!
Melker Carlson with the game winner in overtime. 3-2. Sharks win game 1 at Edmonton. Game 2 is tomorrow. Joe Thornton sat out the first game. No word yet if he'll be good to go for game 2. Story number 3, A's are 5-4. Andrew Triggs did it again, allowing no earned runs for the 2nd consecutive start. Jed Lowry drove in 3. Rajay Davis drove in 2. They'll go for the sweep today with Jesse Hahn. 4:15, the dugout show here on 95.7 The Game. The Giants winners as they take the series from Arizona behind Matt Cain. 6-2, the final. The update brought to you by East Bay Mini in Pleasanton. Expand your comfort zone in the spacious Mini Countryman today at East Bay Mini in Pleasanton. Visit eastbaymini.com, eastbaymini.com. I'm Dan Dibley on your home of the Warriors. Playoff action Sunday, 12:30, right here on 95.7 The Game.
Thank you, Dibs. Matt Cain. Has the Matt Cain of old return to the Giant rotation? We'll find out more on that with Alex Pavlovich in 26 minutes at 9:30. But for right now, Raider Nation, listen up. Ian Rappaport of NFL Network, about an hour ago, had these 3 tweets surface. I am going to read them to you in order. Tweet number 1. Sources. Always with the sources. Sourcey Sorcerson says, the Seahawks and Raiders are expected to work out a trade for Marshawn Lynch. It's contingent on a reworked contract first. Tweet number 2 from Rappaport. Per NFL rules, if retired running back Marshawn Lynch is traded, he does not have to file a letter unretiring. It would be a clean return to play. Tweet number 3. Marshawn Lynch had permission from Seattle to talk to the Raiders. His agents have permission to rework his deal. If it happens, then trade talks. Now, this leads into Jason Lockenfora from CBS tweeting, the Seahawks and Raiders have yet to talk Marshawn Lynch trade. Has not happened. Lynch must agree to terms with Oakland first. Let's go ahead and follow the timeline here, and we will reach what's happening. Number one, story reports that Oakland-born, California-raised Marshawn Lynch wants to come back to the NFL and that he wants to do it with the Oakland Raiders. We react. Then there's the brouhaha about whether or not Seattle would let him go. Then it turns out Lynch actually already talked to Pete Carroll, head coach in Seattle, John Schneider, general manager in Seattle. They've already figured it out. He then meets with Jack Del Rio and the Oakland Raiders. Then we hear about, oh, the New England Patriots may be in play. That's a leverage play to get a few more bucks out of the Raiders. Then we hear this morning from Edward or ESPN that Lynch is in the process of filing for reinstatement. Then we hear from Ian Rappaport. Doesn't take a genius to connect the dots. You're not just going to come out of retirement willy-nilly and then try to work out a deal. Why? Well, Seattle, as soon as you come out of retirement, is going to get a $9 million cap charge. They can't afford to be dealing with that sort of thing leading up to the draft. They got to be organized. So I would assume, and this is just my best guess years after watching all this stuff take place, is that all the stuff happening behind the scenes has been laying the groundwork for a trade, for a contract. There will be a refiling. There will be a trade, probably a switch of sixth-round picks, maybe a fifth. Who knows how it's going to be, but it's not going to be a lot. Seattle gets what they want. Lynch becomes a Raider. A new contract is announced. The silver and black have their man, Dibs.
Done and done. And go ahead and put him in number 24, a number worn by legends such as Willie Brown and Charles Woodson. Bring him home to Oakland, and you know, you can worry about how much he can contribute later, but this would be a great PR move for a team in desperate need of some good PR, at least around here they are.
Terrific PR. We've already taken phone calls. We'll continue to take them. 888-957-9570. How do you feel about the idea of Marshawn Lynch and the Raiders this close to getting something done? Lo, I got two questions for you. I'll start with the prison bet. If you're wrong, 3 years in San Quentin. Actually, no, I'm sorry. It's not. It's 1 year.
1 year in San Quentin.
If you're wrong, it's 1 year in San Quentin. If you're right, you get $3 million. Would you make the prison bet on Marshawn Lynch? And if you would, which side would you be on?
I'd make the bet, and I would actually do it that I'd want the $3 million. So I'm going to prison for a year because I really believe that it is going to happen. I'm willing to take that chance. When you see what's going on and what's been – I know. And
you don't – He does not do this lightly. I'm much more willing to fly with the prison.
Yeah, me too.
It's probably the degenerative nature of myself, but
you've been known to gamble every now and again.
I did once. There was the time.
Just last night, probably.
There was one time in the last few minutes, but other than that. But go ahead. You are that confident he's going to end up in silver and black.
Yeah, I really am, Joe. And just look at, like you talked about, how you laid it out, the chain of events that's taken place over the last couple months. Marshawn Lynch was, linked to the Raiders. We already went to the facility twice. So you got to realize, if they said, oh, he met with Jack. Well, if he met with Jack, you don't think he met with Big Red? Reggie, that is, of course. They want to talk about what's going on. And you'd see now, what if Seattle's went as far as saying him and his agent and the Raiders need to work out a deal? Because they understand what's at stake. You just signed Butterball, the guy that you don't like. They just left, Green Bay.
Eddie Lacy,
and you gave him $5 million.
To be clear, I never called him Butterball.
Well, right. You said pretty much fat.
I said he's overweight. I was factually accurate. You call him Butterball.
And
damn.
As I digest.
As he digests.
As he digests.
Does he digest?
Wow, you guys are terrible. And anyway.
Oh, yeah. Start it off, and then when everyone jumps in, throw us under the bus and move back to sports.
That's me, though. That's what I do. I'm in and out. Okay, and so it doesn't behoove this Seattle team to have $5 million contract with Lacy. And then $10 million in Marshawn Lynch, that's over $15 million. And the other running backs you have, you're talking $17, $18 million in a running back position. It doesn't behoove them. I think Lynch and his people around him who waited. He waited till Eddie Lacy was signed. So now he goes to Seattle and says, hey, look, I want to play again. Is it possible that I can get this thing done? They already have Eddie Lacy, so they say, look, I don't want this guy on my salary. If he decides to play and they say no, now they have to pay him $10 million. So they work something out with the Raiders. You make this trade. You sign him for a lesser contract. Of course, the Raiders not going to pay this guy $10 million. But you have to look at this and say, yes, the wheels on the bus go round and round, and it's now in motion.
One thing we've never talked about over the few weeks of this speculation is personnel and what it means to the offense. We've touched on it, but help me out here, because this question's never actually been asked. We've got Jalen Richard in the fold. We've got DeAndre Washington in the fold. Two very young, very promising running backs. Lynch brings a different element. Is he an upgrade over what Latavius Murray brought to the table? And if so, by how much, Lowe?
You know what, Joe? In my opinion, right now, I believe that he will be. I said, if you said today, put them both in the backfield right now today, I'd give a slight edge to Murray. But why him getting in shape, his mental attitude changing, him going to OTAs, getting back with the system, running with the ones, understanding the line, how they work, then getting to training camp, getting pads, working out, lifting, getting his body back in shape. I think it's a big upgrade because when you're tall, Joe, you have that forward lean. You don't want to get hit. So you're running kind of timid because you know you're 6'3", 6'4". You're going to take a lot of shots. Marshawn Lynch, he's already squat. He's already compact. So he's upright and already square because he's used to taking those shots. So he can be more patient. He's got great bursts. He's a patient runner, and he runs harder, and he's stronger in his heart. He's so much the surface they hit. He's different than what you had in Latavius. I really believe that this is a big-time upgrade because he's a more patient runner, and he's a seasoned runner, and he's a lot more physical.
You in your prime. Beast mode in his prime.
My God.
Where would that have stacked up with all the combos you've been with?
Ooh.
You and LT, you and Eddie George, you and Corey Dillon. Where would that one rank?
You know what? I think that one would rank like me and Corey and Eddie. Physical. And more like a Corey because Corey Dillon ran hard on what people think.
He knocked that dude out.
Out cold. Safety. Before he even hit the ground, he was already out. So Marshawn Lynch, he and I together. That would have been a lot of beef in the backfield. Sort of like
a lot of pain. A
lot of pain.
Like
you and Mike Alstott, kind of.
That's what
you and Mikey, yeah.
Me and Mikey.
In Tampa.
Those two, yeah, that's a different story. They like to have a couple of cocktails
and
party.
Mikey, wait a minute. Let's give him place and respect. The late Dennis Green, who we love and respect, we brought him show. He came on the show. They lost one game that year. And you know who that was? To Tampa Bay, us. Mike Alstott, we ran for over 200 yards. You remember that? And we laughed because we beat
against Minnesota, yeah.
We beat Minnesota. We went downhill and was physical. Me and Mike Alstott would do the Mark McGuire and Sammy Sosa when he would score.
You gotta be kidding me.
True friend, we did. That's how.
Where was Warwick Dunn in all this? Building houses for people, right?
That's what he was doing. That's right.
While you two were trying to be Sosa and McGuire, Warwick Dunn's out there building homes.
People loved it. No, he was on the sideline at that time because it was the Rhino backfield. When me and Warwick was in, it was called Pony because little guy, Shetland Pony. When me and Mike, it was Rhino, the big guys. But yeah, when he was.
Rhino.
True friend.
What about Alstott and Warwick Dunn? What was that combo?
Just regular.
That was regular.
Yeah.
Because that's what they did the majority
coffee,
of the time.
A little coffee and just coffee and cream.
That was a ridiculous Madden backfield. Anyone who played the video game back then knows the Alstott, Low Neal, Warwick Dunn backfield. That was one of the few times you actually wanted to run in the video game. Generally, you want to throw in those games, at least from my perspective. All right, so back on track here.
Thank you.
And if you're just joining us, Ian Rappaport from the NFL Network is reporting that trade discussions are taking place between the Raiders and the Seahawks for running back Marshawn Lynch. To the phones we go. 888-957-9570 if you want to weigh in. Michael, in Napa, your thoughts on Marshawn Lynch to the Silver and Black?
I'm not too big on it, man.
Really?
I have a strong feeling that he's washed up. I don't think he's going to meet what we need, and we should go out and go get somebody that can play, like Adrian Peterson, somebody that we know played last year.
Okay, so you like the idea of Peterson more than Lynch.
Absolutely, man. I don't want somebody that hasn't played in the last 2 years. And Sherman, he's been getting burnt the last 2 years as well. The last thing I want is for him to be over there in our secondary, you know, being another liability back there versus somebody that can actually help.
Okay. Appreciate the phone call. First one's a little bit on the negativity. Well, I don't want to say negativity side. Those are fair points. He's been out of the game. And Richard Sherman, you know, that's how he feels. So start with Lynch here, Lowe. Where would he be? Size, speed, weight, all that stuff, to have to get into the mindset, the physical nature of the way he played. What kind of body type is that going to be? How hard is it going to be to get that back to a productive level worthy of a contract and a spot on the roster?
Well, I think you got two different type of backs when you're talking about Marshawn and Adrian Peterson. Marshawn is more that thoroughbred that Missouri chalk fodder, that's big, physical. And AP is that racehorse. and he's got a lot of miles on the racehorse. So I think that when you look at both these guys, they both bring a different dimension. Marshawn Lynch, to me, I think is more physical than Adrian Peterson right now. Stronger, more physical, get downhill. I'm telling you, if it's third and two, three, I'd rather have Marshawn having the ball with AP. Now, AP is still a guy that has that burst, that if you see the back of 2-8, it's too late. He's fast, but you got to realize, Izzy is durable. He's coming off, you know, injuries, a lot of different injuries. Marshawn Lynch, bigger body mass. I think that he's more durable than AP, and I just think so right now at their career, not saying that AP isn't capable of having a bigger year because of his speed, but if you're talking about those tough mutter yards and you want that 4 yards and you want that physical, what we I think this Raider team needs, I think Marshawn Lynch fits this system better, and especially out of the gun run. You know, Adrian Peterson is usually a single back or eye guy that's really been that. That's when he had most of his success. Out of the gun, didn't really seem to be as comfortable running that type of offense.
Dibs, if the contract is exactly the same, would you rather see Marshawn Lynch helping this offense or Adrian Peterson?
Marshawn Lynch, certainly because of the fit. And, you know, I think Adrian Peterson, he may have a little bit more left in the tank. You just don't know, coming off the knee injury. And then last year, he was suspended and he came back and played a little bit. I think that they both have big question marks. But as far as the symbolic nature of either move, I think Marshawn Lynch is the move.
Is it strange that AP is still available? The focal point is always, can you believe Colin Kaepernick hasn't been signed yet? Think about Adrian Peterson for a moment. Had a meeting in Seattle, and the same thing always happens. The same reporter every single time. After every meeting, it's Adrian Peterson is leaving, fill in the blank, had a very productive meeting, talks ongoing. Seattle, New England.
Saints.
The Saints just happened. Minnesota talk with him. He obviously wanted to stay there if possible to retire, but they weren't going to pay the $18 million. Does it surprise you he hasn't found a job yet?
No, it doesn't surprise me more than Colin Kaepernick, because Colin Kaepernick is a guy that's still young, in his 20s, and we know that can be a productive quarterback or productive backup guy who can get things done. Adrian Peterson's 31, going to be 32 years of age, a guy who's just coming off a knee surgery last year. And you look at this guy and you say, okay, can I invest $3-4 million, $4-5 million in him? If for a guy that I don't know if is going to stay healthy the whole year, it doesn't surprise me with AP, because probably the money that he's looking for, somewhere around $7 or $8 million, I don't see him getting that. He's going to be he will get signed, but it's going to be anywhere from that $2-5 million. It will not be that $8-9 million that sometimes players think that they're worth. I look at Colin Kaepernick. Here's a guy that we know that is serviceable, at least in a backup role. I think that that's more of me. That's more of a one to me than AP.
Jay and Hayward, thank you for calling the program. Marshawn Lynch to the Raiders. Your thoughts?
Negative. I don't want him. Do not take him. Slow. He wasn't as good. That wasn't that good 2 years ago. And it's a little Neil. You're talking about AP injuries. He was injured 2 years ago. He was missed a whole bunch, almost the whole year. Pass on Lynch. Draft somebody. Dalvin Cook.
Okay.
Walked us off, too.
Now this is a deep running back class, but this is where you have to ask yourself a question. Do you want to use a high pick, like number 24 overall, on a potential running back coming out? Or maybe a second rounder? When you could address that need potentially here in free agency with a guy like Marshawn Lynch, and then use 24 on maybe defensive help. It all comes down to how big you think your window is. And in the NFL, it's never as big as it seems. How much time do you have from the start of last year until the closing of this window to win a Super Bowl? Identify that scenario first, and then from there, do whatever it takes to take advantage of that window. Seattle thought they were going to be on top of the world for a long time, right? Won a Super Bowl. Well, first they had that very promising season, down 14-0 wild card game in Washington. Shanahan runs Robert Griffin into the ground. Redskins lose. Seahawks go on to lose in Atlanta the following week. Next year, they win the Super Bowl, blow out Denver. Next year, they're this close to winning another one. But they lose to the Patriots. Haven't been back since. Who knows if that thing's closing. Carolina, 15-1 in the Super Bowl against Denver. Good effort, came up short. No big deal. You figure they're about to take over the NFC. They didn't even make the playoffs last year. Cam Newton looked terrible. Windows are small, though you know it. You know it. How wide do you think this window is for the Raiders? We've got a franchise quarterback in the mix, but got a lot of big contracts coming up.
They can compete for the next, as long as Carr is there, you're competing. But like you said, Super Bowl It's 2 to 3 years. Super Bowl for this team.
Okay, I want to talk Super Bowl window, right? Okay. Because as long as Drew Brees is in New Orleans, you would assume they could compete. But around him, it's been a freaking dumpster fire.
Right.
So you think a 2 to 3 year window for a Super Bowl is what we're looking at here?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's reasonable, but it scares some people. I think some people are probably thinking about 5 years.
No, 2 to 3 years is your window because you got to realize in 5 years, you don't have Donald Penn. You're not for sure if you're going to have, you know, the young receiver that we got. It might be free agency. You're not for sure the different linemen, all the different things defensively. So 5 years is hard to project. Now, you know, in 5 years, you're still going to have Carr, hopefully barring any injuries. So you're going to have a chance to get in the playoffs and at least be like the Chargers. You're going to stay relevant as long as you have a guy that can spin the ball around and keep you relevant. But I think that this is their window now. And when the caller's talking about Marshawn Lynch, this is what you got to realize. Like you talked about, Joe, you go get a rookie. And he's going to be starting. Now you got a guy for the next 4 to 5 years, if you don't miss in the first round, that can plug and play and also play special teams. Why go and get a running back there? I think you will get another guy that you need on defense. You need to address the linebacker position. You need the best interior line. You need to think about a secondary. A Marshawn Lynch can come in and be that stopgap. And he's talking about him being injured. I think Marshawn Lynch that last year there only had 500, 600 yards. I think because he checked out. He wasn't happy with the situation. You even heard his mom come out and say certain things. They set him up.
There was a lot of bad blood there because of the way those guys screwed up that Super Bowl. That Pete Carroll, Daryl Bevel mistake, man, they're still paying for that.
No question. And you lost him. You lost a guy who felt that he was the centerpiece of that team. It was still his team, and you went away from him. So the following year, you didn't have a motivated Marshawn Lynch. I think that some of the injuries, it wasn't like he messed his knee up or his ankle and the caller somebody was hurt. Mentally was hurt. I think here in the Raiders, if you see the guy, and we'll see, it's going to tell. I'm going to get out to practice. We can watch him run. You start to hear how he's looking. I really believe that this guy can still play. I'm not saying he's going to be the Marshawn Lynch of old, but 10 to 15 carries a game. I think this guy can average between 50 to 75 yards a game.
Dibs, a move like this, assuming it goes down, and this is what Ian Rappaport from the NFL Network's reporting, is that a trade is being discussed between the Raiders and the Seahawks for running back Marshawn Lynch. How far does it go towards, I'm not sure if calming is the right word I'm looking for, but towards easing some of the pain of what's taking place for Raider Nation here in the Bay Area over the last couple weeks?
It's a step, but it's just really a distraction more than anything. Now, if he goes out and does what Lowe is saying that he potentially could do, 50 yards a game is an 800-yard season. I think if you're a Raider fan, you'd sign up for Marshawn Lynch and 800 yards right now, because what would come with that would probably be 4 to 6 touchdowns. 800 yards
and
5 touchdowns, I mean, that you'd be over the moon as a Raider fan. I think you're probably looking closer to 500 yards and maybe 4 or 5 touchdowns, short yardage situations. But to your question, Joe, I think it's a step in the right direction of, you know, we're leaving, we're going to Vegas, but in the meantime, while we stay in Oakland, have a great Oakland piece. It's not as significant as taking the tarps off by Dave Cavill, but it's maybe a half measure on that same scale. As far as things you can't really quantify, but things that hit you in the heart as a fan.
Those 800 yards would be 800 very important yards, because they're going to also contribute in the passing game as well. What I mean by that is this team on third down with Murray, the thing that always struck me strange about Murray, he seemed like a good back, but just wasn't able to get the next step. It always felt like he had good numbers, but they were bizarre numbers. Whereas it'd be, hey, look, you know, 9 carries, 89 yards. But then you'd go back and look at it, and he'd have the 1 carry for 58 yards, and then a bunch of carries where he didn't pick up a whole lot. He didn't strike me as the consistent 3rd-and-2 conversion guy, 4th-and-goal from the 1 conversion guy, right? Nice career, and he's got potential. But Lynch has always been that guy that gets that tough yard 90-95% of the time. If he is added to the mix, he's going to suck opposing defenses up. You might not be able to go, what, nickel and dime as much. So you're in your base package. You're creeping more towards the line to prevent him from eating you up underneath. What does that do for Derek Carr?
Yeah, and I think the callers have to realize, and I know they say, well, he can't do anything. He's slower. I get that. Adrian Peterson is a racehorse. So you got to realize what you get in Adrian Peterson. It's the speed. But he loses a lot of his power. You see how Adrian Peterson seemed like what happened to him. When you're a dump truck, look at Jerome Bettis. Even in Bettis's last year, he still got you those 3, 4, 5. Even though he got beat up, maybe he wasn't as more explosive, but you know he was still a dump truck and he was reliable. Even the year that they won that Super Bowl, go look at his last year. The guy was still productive because he's a dump truck. Marshawn Lynch is a dump truck. He still might be a little beat up, might be still a little older. Guarantee you, if he comes here, he's going to average over 3 yards. He's going to average that 4 yards a carry because he's a dump truck. He's not going to have the big, necessarily long runs, but he's strong and he's physical, and that's what he is. Barring injuries, he's going to be solid.
Raiders looking to get Marshawn Lynch back into the NFL. Giants hoping Matt Cain from last night is back to stay. And when can we expect Buster Posey back in the mix? Alex Pavlovich on the Giants next. Joe Lo and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to Joe, Lo, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
He covers the San Francisco Giants for NBC Sports Bay Area. You can follow him on Twitter. Alex, you have a new Twitter handle, do you not?
Yeah, technically. It's the same Twitter. They just changed the, they added NBC.
That's right.
NBC Sports.
Okay, so now I'll go ahead and finish the introduction. At Alex Pavlovich. Alex Pavlovich joining Joe Lo and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. How the hell are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Pretty good now that I got all that squared away.
Yeah, we're all set.
Let's start with last night. It's been a bit of a struggle through the first couple weeks of the season, but obviously, as they say, it's still early. But Matt Cain was absolutely dealing last night. What was it like talking to him in the clubhouse after the game? Could we expect more of this in the future?
Well, it's a nice change of pace. First of all, I think we, you know, all spring and last year, and it had gotten to the point where I think it got a little bit with Timmy, where you start to, you know, everything feels like it's close to the end, and you feel like you have to start talking big picture and what this means for his spot in the rotation, what it means for Ty Block and Tyler Beatty and all that. So I think it would be nice for him and nice for the Giants if he could get in a little groove here and you could just worry about the way he's throwing and worry about how many innings he throws and things like that. So I don't know what's going to happen the next time out. It was good last night. He had some good ones last year too. And obviously the whole year as a whole wasn't good, but I think you look at the way he threw and the way he used his fastball, especially against some really good hitters. And there were some really positive signs and some stuff that they're hopeful. This is the one that he can kind of build off. They don't need him to be the Matt Cain of 4 or 5 years ago, but if you can do what you did last night, 5 innings, give your team a chance to win, they'll take that from the number 5 guy every single time.
And put the stress on the bullpen accordingly. But if you have the other guys go deeper in the game, I guess the thought is that 5 innings from Cain and a 4-inning bullpen performance every 5th day is not that bad then?
Yeah, you just have to kind of look around the league and look at where fifth starters are at this point. And a lot of teams where your number 4 starter is or your number 3. And they have the 4 guys at the top of the rotation who should throw 200 innings this year. So if you need more out of Corey Guerin, if you need maybe more out of Ty Block or Neil Ramirez, George Contos, all those guys on Cain days, that's absolutely fine. I mean, Cain will tell you that's not what he wants. But if you're the Giants and that's what you need, I think they're totally fine with that. And the way they got through last night's game is a pretty good formula.
Alex, what was it like being at the ballpark and you see after he comes out in the middle of the 6th and getting a standing ovation? The fans just seem like they really appreciate Cain's work. What was that like and for him, you think?
Yeah, I'll even go back to the home opener where he got a very nice ovation for that. And I think it was just a reminder that most of the fans that we hear from, the loudest ones, we hear from the ones on Twitter, you hear some people at the ballpark, but most of the fans understand what this guy has done for the organization. I think most of them understand that the team is better off if Matt Cain goes out and pitches well, and they're rooting for him. So you could definitely hear that last night. You could hear it after he hit that double, after he scored on the single that came after that. And like you said, after he came out of the game, I think there is an understanding that this guy has really meant a lot. And that's part of what's going on here. I mean, everybody talks about the contract, but the really big thing in the clubhouse is Matt Cain is the longest tenure Giant. He's been the leader of this team for almost a decade now, and people want to give him a chance. And even guys in his own clubhouse, I mean, guys in the dugout there, they're rooting for him. They want him to figure this out. So there was a lot of that last night.
Do you think third base coach Phil Nevin waving Kane around in the fifth inning for that run caught A.J. Pollock, the Gold Glove center fielder, off guard?
No, you know, it looked like A.J. kind of got caught in between there, and he was a little flat-footed, and that ball got up on him. And you have to give credit not just to Kane for going hard on the play when it did look like off the bat there would be no chance of scoring, and also for Nevin, who I think, you know, we're less than 2 weeks in here, but everything I've seen from him, he makes good reads out there. He's prepared. He makes the right decision. And really, I don't know that we've had a moment this year where you can totally question him yet. I think he's done a good job, and I think they've also done a better job this year of preparing guys. You saw what Jarrett Parker did the other day, scoring from first. That wasn't a Nevin decision. That was just something where they've done a good job of getting guys ready this year. And then last year, that was a huge issue for him. But for everything that's gone wrong over the first couple of weeks here and all the little things you could – maybe talk about it. I think base running is early on much better than it was a year ago.
Great point. Alex Pavlovich joining us here on 95.7 The Game. The big question, of course, Buster Posey on the 7-day concussion DL after being hit by the pitch in the helmet. What can you update us as far as his status and how he's feeling?
It's just so hard to tell. I think until these guys actually get out there, and you know, the first step is usually getting on the bike or getting on the treadmill and getting your heart rate up and seeing how you react to that. So I talked to Buster briefly yesterday. He looks fine. He sounds fine. He was giving reporters a hard time after the game, which is a sign that I think he's in good spirits. But until these guys get out there, I think that's the one thing we've learned over the last couple of years. And we've seen it with Brandon Belt. We've seen it with Joe Panik. It's such a fine line. And you really just have to get the heart rate up and see what happens. And I think because he is a catcher, that's going to play into this. And the fact that they do have two off days next week, I think there's all the reasons in the world there for them to be very careful with him and not rush him back. I'm not sure we're going to see him when that 7 days is up, just because he is going to take two or three full days off here.
Alex Pavlovich with Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. How long is the leash in left field? We saw that Melvin Upton was signed to a minor league deal last week. What's the thought process regarding the timeline on that position for the organization right now?
Well, that triple by Jarrett Parker was very well timed. I think you look at what those guys have done and the trouble they've had. And a lot of it, it's not just the hits or the lack of homers or whatever. It's the fact that they weren't driving in runs and they weren't getting hits or having good at-bats in big spots. So I think that was a big one for him. And that's what – they've seen Jarrett go nuts before. They've seen him kind of take that swing and carry it over. So I think that's what they're looking for here. And hoping that whether it's him or Marrero, one of those guys figures it out and gets hot. Because in a perfect world, look, there's a reason that Melvin Upton Jr. was available at the start of the year. There's a reason that Drew Stubbs was available. These are not guys that teams were really going after too hard. And I think there's flaws with both of those guys. So they would like Jarrett to figure this out. And I think if he can carry that swing over that he had last night, I mean, that ball was 20 rows deep on any other night. So for me, that's kind of the guy to watch over the next week or so here as they get back on the road, and especially as they get to Colorado. Maybe that'll give him some confidence and really get him going towards fixing left field.
What does Span bring to this team? You saw last night his ability to make some plays in center field and, you know, and a timely hit. Is this team it better when Span is playing at a high level? You see his ability, just the threat of stealing bases. What are some of the things that he brings to this team?
Yeah, I mean, you know, he doesn't use the speed to run as much anymore, but he still does have it. I think we've seen he looks like he's running well out of the box at the very least. And to me, it's just a guy who has good at-bats at the top of the order and somebody who does give him just kind of that extra base power. I mean, it's going to be doubles. It's going to be triples. It's not necessarily going to be home runs, but he can drive in runs too if guys are there. And I think it's so important to have that leadoff hitter. And for better or worse, he's going to be the leadoff hitter. I mean, that's the spot he's in. So you need that guy to be going. And we saw last year, it's really tough when that guy is in a slump. And early on here, Span's off to a good start. He's healthy. I think he looks better out there just physically than he did at any point last year. He felt that in spring training. So he seems like whatever bothered him the first week doesn't seem like that's bothering him at all. And that's going to be huge for these guys. If they have him and Brandon Belt, regardless of what Belt does with power numbers or his average or anything, he works counts, he draws walks. So you have these two guys at the top who are making it tough on the pitcher right away.
He's the San Francisco Giants insider for NBC Sports Bay Area. You can follow him on Twitter at Alex Pavlovich. Alex Pavlovich with Joe Lowen-Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Alex, tremendous stuff as always. Keep up the great work. We appreciate your time. We'll catch up with you again soon.
All right, guys. Talk to you next week.
I mean, freaking Kane was dealing last night. I was on the wrong end of that equation.
I think a lot of people was, Joe. I mean, you look at how he's played, and you look at history, and you say, okay, this guy's regressing. How's he going to pitch? And last night, you saw him get in the zone after the first inning. He just started dealing. The guy was pretty good last night, and he looked like the Kane of old.
The slider looks so good. Putting it right over the left side of the plate with right-handed batters, and it would just backdoor its way right in across the edge of the plate. I mean, it got to a point where he gives up the run in the first, you're like, here we go. And then he's got 10-batter stretch starting like the second inning where he struck out six of them. I mean, he was mowing these dudes down. Then he comes up, because he can't get any help, because they're leaving dudes on base left and right, ropes a double, and then Phil Nevin waves him in from second base. I hear what Alex is saying, not necessarily disagreeing, but I almost think he caught him off guard. I don't know if he thought he was going to go. But
It was good to see him in his own.
I got to be honest. I threw out a tweet last night, and I was like, I got two plays tonight. The Lakers in the points and the Diamondbacks in the first five innings over the Giants, and you're just watching the ball fall apart. It's like, all right. So everyone in the Bay Area who sees that's going to hate me because my picks are against the local teams, and I end up losing on both ends there.
Yeah, and I guess people in the back end do get delight at knowing that you went against them and you got some victories.
Of course, and they should take delight in that. You absolutely should take delight in that. The one team I haven't even considered has been the A's this season, because you're never sure, right? You're just going to dip the toe in the water, and here they are, 5-4.
Yeah.
In the last 2 years, if they're going to win, it's going to be great pitching with very little hitting or great hitting with very little pitching. Last night, Andrew Triggs mows him down. The back end of the bullpen looks fantastic. Yeah. And then you've got a lineup that comes alive for 8 runs. I know Kansas City's down a bit this season, but at 5-4, you can't help but sit here and go, there are some bright spots.
Doesn't matter.
Kendall Graveman. Andrew Triggs, Jarrell Cotton. Oh, by the way, Sonny's coming back soon. And Crush Davis is probably going to hit 80 this year.
Yeah, he's slowing down a little bit. Didn't get one yesterday, so.
Over under, you know what? I think 60 is reasonable. He'll probably challenge 40, though, but it'll be fun. The most important thing, entertaining. That's the one thing that's been missing the last 2 years. It's been a bit of a struggle. This year, it's been entertaining.
And not just that with the A's, Joe. Not just entertaining. They're competitive. And you look at the games and you're watching them, you're saying, okay, here's a team, because we're used to seeing the last couple of years. We've been here. We've seen a team that's just been out there and it's kind of lackluster. We've had problems in pitching, the rotation from the bats, trades, and all the different things that go on with this organization. It doesn't give you hope. It doesn't give you hope that they're going to be able to compete. And now this year, here's a team that no one expects a lot out of except themselves. And Bob, give kudos to the skipper, Bob Melvin. Even though it's early, only two series in, you know, this team is finding a way to make things happen in a positive direction. And you're winning early for a young team, Joe. It's really good because it builds confidence. And I think this young team is building confidence and getting momentum on their side. Hopefully they can keep it up for a while.
Four games, four local teams, four victories. All that next. Joe Lowen-Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Joe Lowen-Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
He's coming up in 12 minutes at the top of the hour. Jamie Baker's going to join him at 10:15, Tim Roy at 10:45, and the great Rich Aurelia, who makes a hell of a red wine, at 11:15. JT the Brick with Joe Lowen-Dibs on 95.7 The Game. JT, yeah, I don't know what I'm late in the show. How special is it, these rare moments where we can come in the morning and you've got four teams playing the night before and all four are delivering victories? That was amazing last night.
Yeah, it's everything. It's everything to be on in the radio locally in a market like this size, and have all those teams playing and winning on the same night. It's rare. It doesn't happen. Usually a team's off, a team's traveling. To see that perfect storm, and I really believe it's one of the few days. I know hockey doesn't lead typically in any market other than in Canada or Detroit or Boston, but the way the Sharks were able to fight and come back in that game and win, that is a backbreaker to Edmonton. And I'm not saying the series is over yet, but if they get that second win out there and Edmonton, just they're a young team and they don't bounce back, you'll be talking about that victory for quite some time. That was everything from coaching adjustments to back checking to great goaltending and then clutch. And I think in hockey, that's one of those sports that it's probably the best sport when it comes to winning a trophy, the Stanley Cup. Well, you got to be clutch. And the Sharks were epic last night.
One down and 15 to go for yes. San Jose. Brick, if you look at last night in the NBA and all the players who didn't have a chance to make it on the floor, if you put together a team of the DNP rest guys last night, is it the best team in the NBA?
It could be, Dibs. It would rank right up there. It would be an elite team. It would be a team that could compete as a backup team at the All-Star game. I'm just so happy, Dibs, that I could get away from this topic and move on. I mean, I grinded this topic twice a day harder than anybody.
You, Brick? No.
I grinded this rest thing. I squeezed it like a rag. I got every bit of perspiration out of it. So that's what's great about the NBA playoffs is we don't have to talk about the regular season anymore. We don't have to talk about rest. Maybe other than the fact that this playoff schedule is kind of easy. You play, what, Sunday, then Wednesday? I mean, if the Warriors are not going to lose, I don't think they'll lose a game in this series, but they better be careful because there's a lot of days off early after a loss and a win. They're going to win these games, and it'll refuel this team for this run. Let me throw this back at you guys. Whoa. I said that they needed to go 14-2 in their last 16. They went 15-1. Give me the Warriors' overall record in the 16 wins. We're all assuming they're going to win it all. What do you think? 16-0, 15-1, 14-2. What do you got?
16-4. I'll say 16-4. I think it's six games against the Cavs in the finals. I'd say that leaves the room for two more losses. So a loss in the Western Conference Finals and then a loss the round before that. I don't see him going six too often. I'd like to say the Spurs series could be good, but the last 2 years the Spurs haven't been able to get there.
Well, Joe, that's interesting. You nailed that with the Spurs. The Spurs' schedule now, what they have to do and go through, is really difficult. This is what the Warriors wanted to avoid by getting that one seed when they had a one-game lead with 10-plus games left. Yeah, so they'll win 16, and I think they'll probably lose three along the way because I'm expecting a sweep in the first round, and I'm expecting a 4-1 in the second round, and then it's all bets are off after that. We'll see who stands. But that second-round matchup with Utah and the Clippers, the Clippers are playing outstanding basketball. That could be a lot of fun.
JT, let's talk about some positive news. We just hear that Marshawn Lynch is, you know, they're giving him permission to work out a deal with the Raiders. What are you seeing and what are you hearing? Is this a foregone conclusion? If you're a betting man, would you bet that this guy is going to put on that silver and black this year? And is it a good fit for the Raiders?
Yeah, I think it is, Lo. I think it's close to a done deal, I would hope, because when we had Ian Rappaport on, who broke the story first that he was in the building, he talked to me about possibly Marshawn Lynch donating his salary to charity to do this as a goodwill gesture. So with the piece to leave from Seattle, the cap hit that Seattle doesn't have now, and to come to Oakland and structure a deal that will be a solid deal for Reggie to go out there and maybe make a move for another player and be able to lock up Derek Carr and eventually Khalil Mack long term, it would be a shame if this deal didn't get done, considering what good of a fit it will be. And as I said, I think we all agree, the Raiders need a goal line back almost desperately. I like Rashard, and I like DeAndre Washington, but I wouldn't bet on them deep in the playoffs at the goal line. They have to fill that need. One more need on offense, and then do a big job getting two starters in the draft on defense, and maybe a free agent, or maybe a trade for a guy like Richard Sherman coming in with Marshawn Lynch. That would be fun.
JT the Brick, he's up in 7 minutes. He'll have Jamie Baker at 10:15, Tim Roy at 10:45, and Richard Rilia at 11:15. Thank you, JT. Have a great show.
Take care, guys. Thanks.
From the front desk, did anyone leave an umbrella in the ladies' bathroom?
I did see it.
Did anyone leave an umbrella in the ladies' bathroom?
It was a pink umbrella.
Let's go ahead and get that situation resolved. Someone is looking, presumably a woman.
Dibs, you didn't leave it in there.
For an umbrella.
No, I have a fuchsia umbrella, a mauve one, and a lavender one, but not a pink one.
That leads us to today's Take Your Pick poll question, brought to you by FH Daily and Novato Chevrolet. Good morning, Anna.
Nice transition there. So the question is, how do you see the Sharks and Oilers series playing out? The Sharks, do they win it in 4 or 5? Do you see the Sharks winning it in 6 or 7? Or do the Oilers win it in 4 or 5? Or will they win it in 6 or 7? Go check out our new website, 957thegame.com. You'll see the poll there on the right side of the page. Also, let us know what you think by going to Twitter, at 957thegame.
Your pick.
I'm going to say 6 games, so I'll go with a 6 or 7. So 6.
For the Sharks.
For the Sharks.
Low.
4 or 5 Sharks.
Dibs.
I'm going 6 or 7 Sharks. Yeah.
I like 6 or 7 as well. The young kids from Edmonton are going to get their legs under them. It's going to be a good series, but ultimately, the wily veterans, like they did last night, will prevail. That's it for us. JT the Brick's going to be coming up next. The after show starts at 10:15 on our 95.7 The Game Facebook page, on my Twitter page, at Joe Fortenball. For Anna, for Loafer Dibs, I'm Joe Fortenball. Hopefully, come tomorrow morning when we have this conversation, starting at 6 a.m., Marshawn Lynch is a member of Raider Nation. JT the Brick's up next. Have a good one, everyone, right here on 95.7 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.